Well, that's all they, that's
the only thing that I got a problem with.
Turn your phone up, Mary B. Everybody turn your phone, your volume is on your phone so we can hear you.
What?
Your record low enough.
Yeah, we want everybody to hear what we have to say today. But maybe you got to understand something. Those monuments and points of interest that you're talking about are the money makers for San Antonio.
Right.
The money makers.
They don't
think
about you out
there. What's happening right in the crooked up?
Oh man, not much. I was gonna tell one of them, somebody got some feedback going on in the background.
Somebody need to mute their phone.
What I was gonna say was,
you need to speak up too, Ray.
Cause we can't hear you either.
We can't hardly hear you either, bro.
You can't hear me? What the what?
Yeah, exactly.
There we go. There we
now,
go.
That was a little better.
Oh, I had to scream at you for you to hear me, ain't man. But no.
Well, we down here in the dirty city up. We had an incident a while back, like maybe, I'm going to say almost a year ago, I guess. They did a little protest, but it was dealing with that guy because we had a white officer end up killing a black guy here in town. And since the incident of the guy of Floyd, they dropped the charges on the police officer, so they've been protesting that here. So that's the only big issue that's going on. Ain't no riding or looting or nothing, but that's the biggest issue going on around here.
Well, you got to understand something, Ray. In Mississippi, the Confederate is still strong, brother.
Oh, I already know.
Yeah, Confederate mentality is still strong in Mississippi, that's for sure. You better lie down if you want to. You know their favorite saying, let's string one up.
Oh, God.
You know them white boys are saying, let's string one up.
They better string up the right one.
And what they say, look, and as they call black men back in the South, down here in the South, strange fruit hanging from the tree. Yeah, we don't want that. So we gotta be mindful during the protests in different areas of this country, because there are some places that the Confederate mentality is still really, really strong. So we have to be careful as black men and women. With our protests and be mindful of one another when we're doing.
Now,
right.
LB, talk to us. What do you want to say about the protest? You know, the funeral went on today too. So what's up? Talk to us, LB.
Well, y'all, I want to check in real quick and let y'all know about what's been going on in my hometown of Chicago.
Okay, that's
so, good. So, I was talking about Chicago, and it's mayhem right now. It's a big mess going on. Right now, there's actually a war between the Mexicans and the blacks. And what happened is this. When the looting and everything started, the Mexicans on this part of town started actually working with the police to stop certain businesses from being looted. So they were actually standing in front of the businesses, making sure nobody would loot. This made one of the other gang leaders upset, and they went and killed one of the leaders of the Latin Kings. Okay.
Mm. Yeah, that's
when
the
man
right
killed
now.
The leader of the Latin Kings. This then caused a war, and Mexicans was like, every black person we see from this block to this block, we attacking them. So then the blacks responded. It was like, okay, well, every Mexican we see from this block to this block, we attacking them. So right now, in certain parts of the city, Mexicans can't go into. In certain parts of the city, blacks can't go into. And it's crazy mayhem.
That's a serious situation, man, because... Hey, Chicago is gangland capital. I mean, you got different gangs according to what neighborhood you stay in. That's what gang you in. You know, so yeah, that's gonna be a bloodbath before it's all over with.
And today, man, and that's the thing about Chicago. Chicago's a very territorial city, but it's manifested by gangs. So that's the thing. If you live on this part, GD's running that. If you live on this part, the King's running that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And I mean,
what
because,
I'm saying. Whatever neighborhood you stay in, that's the gang you're affiliated with.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
But think about the people who's not in that gang. Think about the people who's not Latin Kings who stay in the Latin Kings neighborhood. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
We have black people who stay in that neighborhood. They can't even walk out the house right now because if they do, they're getting attacked.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crucial. It's crucial. I've been to Chicago, and like I said, the reason that's how I know that whatever neighborhood you live in is the way is whatever gang you're in. There's no question about it.
One thing I do want to bring up, and I want you to talk a little bit about it, LB. You know, OCOF. You know, the foundation of it. You know, how it started, and just share a little bit with us about your organization.
Yeah, definitely. OCOF means Our Children, Our Future. OCOF was an organization that was started by myself as well as the members of my family shortly after my cousin was killed in Chicago, walked home from school. Caught up in a gang fight and he wasn't a part of either gang. So with that situation that took place, one thing that we stood for as a family was making sure that his death was not in vain. We wanted to make sure we put in programs and implemented things to make sure that we at least help one child. You know, we might not be able to save the whole city, but we can help at least one child from having to endure the things we had to endure as a family by losing a loved one at such a young age. We felt like we were doing something. So we put in scholarship programs. We put in after-school programs. We put in back-to-school drives. We've done things. Also, we was able to get the block that Darion was killed on is now Darion J. Albert Way. We got the street named after him. That was a big thing for us as well. And Our Children's Future has been working diligently in Chicago, Houston, Dallas, and all the different cities. Because one thing I realized when we started the organization is that what happened to my cousin in Chicago wasn't just happening in Chicago, but it's happening all over the country. And I would be selfish to just highlight Chicago when I see that children dying in Houston, and I see children are dying in other cities as well. So I wanted to make it a national organization, and that's why we've been doing things. One thing that I'm very proud that we've been doing is prom sponsorship, where we take a young man or a young lady and we send them to prom, all expenses paid. Everything from their hair to their makeup to their ride to prom, we get them a limo and everything, the whole nine, and we make sure that they're taken care of.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, we definitely want to be are a part of OCOF. When you and Mary B come out here, we want to discuss how we can be a part of that and, to help further your efforts out here in Houston. Also, we want to just be mindful of the family of George Floyd, okay? We want to be mindful of the family. So at this moment, I want to take a moment of silence, amen, to just, we know, how long did they hold him down, baby?
8 minutes and 46 seconds.
My God. So I just want to take just a few minutes. Now, I can only play this song for a few seconds. So we just want to put out there we do not own the rights to this music, but we want to play it for 30 seconds.
Thank you. luck in the land. So much killing in the land. People are dying in the land. I pray.
And that's what we want to happen. We need for our land to be healed. Amen. Not going to be an
Amen.
Easy thing. It's not going to be a comfortable thing. But our prayer is for God to heal the land. All right. You
I got something I want to say. See, we have to understand that those four officers were not arrested and prosecuted immediately for a reason. You have to understand something. God's plan is not our plan. And it was in God's plan for there to be an uproar and an outrage about them not being arrested immediately. That way it will mobilize and motivate some of us to be in an outrage. Because let me tell you something. Even though we sat there and watched this man for 8 minutes and 46 seconds being lynched on TV, a modern-day lynching, some of us were still not uncomfortable enough to do anything about it. But when we found out that there were not going to be, first there were going to be no charges. Then after that, we found out that they're going to charge one, but they're going to only charge him with third-degree murder. Then after that, some of us got even more outraged and started rioting and protesting and picketing. And then after that, they said, well, we're going to go ahead and charge all of them, and we're going to upgrade it to second-degree murder, which carries a harsher penalty. But the thing is, we have to understand for change to occur, God makes things uncomfortable. And there were so many white people who lived in a buffer from black people that they didn't really know any black people. They didn't have any black friends. They didn't have any interaction with black people or anything like that. So to them, everything was all right. But when you sit there and look at this on television, because you're quarantined in your house and it's on every news channel and every social media outlet that you have no choice but to see it, then it's in your face. And when it's in your face, it makes you uncomfortable. Now you got to make a decision. What are you going to do? Because now racism has been given a badge and a certain look of exactly what the last 400 and some odd years black people have been going through. It has been put right in your face. You cannot duck and dodge it anymore. So now you got to make a move. It's back in your court. But God wants us, you know, you got white people now who are pulling out and becoming part of the movement and the cause that have never even spoken to a black person before because it's in their face. So they got to deal with it. It happens so some black people can see it too because, see, you got some black people who done got $1.50 over bus fare and they think they done made it. So they don't think racism really exists. It's in your face. Kill you like a common. Matter of fact, they didn't kill you like they would kill a dog on TV. They wouldn't even. You ain't never seen a white man choke a dog to death on TV. But you have seen him kneel down and kill a black man on TV before, haven't you? Exactly.
I want to bring up.
So they tell you put that in your craw and chew on it. Yeah, see if you can digest it.
What I want to bring up. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Yes. What I want to bring up is a post that I viewed on Twitter. And this young man, he's a black young man, and he's very bold with his confession of support for Trump. And so I just wanted to share a couple of things that he put on his Twitter account. And I want to get everybody's response to it. He put, "White people, you owe me nothing. Stop allowing these black people to make you feel bad because of their excuses." We'll start with you, Ray.
I had to laugh because he said our excuses. Him, can y'all hear me? Everybody can hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, baby.
Okay, he said,
sorry, Queenie, can you read that one more time? Because we didn't get to hear what the actual tweet says.
Okay. "White people, you owe me nothing. Stop allowing these black people to make you feel bad because of their excuses." All right, go ahead, Ray.
Well, one thing about that is he's born and raised around somebody that's been coaching him all his life about not liking blacks, and everything we do is an excuse. Because they look at, I've seen a tweet, something like that, that said to the fact that we make excuses for everything, or every time something happens is an excuse. So people like him, you have to kind of ignore, because
you know this is another young black man, huh, Ray? Who did this tweet?
Actually, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, this is a black man who made that tweet.
Okay. Well, I really, I didn't know that. That right there, you know, he said people, black people, with excuses. He's one of those. I don't know. I can't even describe him, because to me, he's one of those blacks back in the day that was guiding blacks on the ship to get put in slavery, because he wanted to please all the white people. But I don't know. He's special. He needs some treatment. I don't know what to say to him, because that's crazy. He probably need to be beat up.
I have something I want to say, Ray. I understand exactly what you're saying. But see, the thing is, we have to understand that there are black people in the United States who are forever going to have a slave mentality, what they call a Stockholm syndrome type, falling
right
in love with your captor. You know,
right.
He sounds like I don't know if y'all are familiar with a young black lady named Candace. What is Candace's last name? Candace Owens.
Oh yeah.
Let me tell y'all something. This girl here is only 29 years old, but she is I can't stand her. I'm gonna just say it like that. I can't stand nothing that she talks about. She is a staunch Trump supporter. She supports everything that everything that's white is right in her world. So she does not agree with anything, any black agenda. She does not, she does not follow it. She doesn't support it. So let me tell you something. To me, that right there is a travesty within itself. And we got a lot of, don't think that there are not a lot of Candace Owens and a lot of brothers with this mentality that we just talked about on the show. You know, we would be surprised. Hold on one second, y'all. Queenie follows her on Instagram, so she has some of her.
All right. So her latest post 5 hours ago was, "Black lives only matter to white liberals. Every 4 years ahead of an election." You heard what she said. I mean, that's what she typed. "It only matters 4 years ahead of an election." And it says, "I'm so sorry."
Every 4 years.
Okay. She said, I'm so sorry to those of you that thought otherwise."
Well,
Well, like I said, Candace Owens is a clown. That is pure lunacy. And like I said, that's the Stockholm Syndrome. You have fallen in love with your captor. And that's what has happened to her and so many other blacks here in the United States. We I only wish that we could get some David in our spirit. And what I mean by that is, where is that uncircumcised Philistine? We need to take us 3 smooth stones and bring them down. See, because we have become cowards in our black communities. The black men in our communities have become cowards. We don't stand up for our community. We don't stand up for our women in our community. We don't stand up for our children. We don't stand up for our own home. We tuck our tail and run when the heat get too hot. And we got to stop doing that as black men. Because all of it starts with us, regardless. I mean, black women are important in our community because they rear the children and they help raise the children. But when it comes to the security and stability of the black community, it's going to have to come down to the black man standing up and being who he's supposed to be. That's just all it is to it. There's no other thing that we can say about it, because let me tell you something. The whole 8 minutes and 46 seconds I watched of him snuffing his life out, all I thought to myself was, all it takes is one person to change the course of what would have happened. All it takes was one of them officers, one person in that crowd. Now, he might have got shot, too, if he'd have ran up and elbowed this boy in his throat or something and knocked him off his neck. But at least George would have still been alive. You know, but I also heard somebody say that all of that was part of God's plan, which I can understand that, too, because, you know, like I said, without this man's death, has really mobilized and changed the entire world, not just the United States, but you have protests all over the world behind a young man out of Third Ward, Texas, right out of Jack Yates High School. That is amazing for his life to mean that much and for him to be used in such a manner.
What you think about it, Ray, or anybody want to weigh in on that?
I want to weigh in real quick. Because when I think about the comments and the tweets that we just read and the posts that we just read, it makes me think about the comments that everybody was so uproared about last week that Biden said. When Biden said, if you're black and you're considering Trump, you're not black. And, I mean, honestly, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to just be honest. I'm not in disagreement with that. I'm really not. There's a lot of black people who's really not black. You know what I'm saying? They don't understand the struggles of black America. They don't understand what's going on in black America. They are so washed in their own mind that they think that we're making excuses for ourselves and we're just not trying to live life. And, you know, all of these different things that they have made up, they're not really in tune with what's going on with the black people and with the black culture.
Hmm. Listen to this. She posted, when you brought up Joe Biden, let me tell you what she posted. She said, and a former VP, Joe Biden, will attend his funeral to honor him. Imagine the black woman who survived this attack while pregnant. People are out here painting murals of him. It's too much. Derek, I think it's Chauvin, should be in prison, but we should not be honoring George Floyd.
She ignorant. That's all I can say. She ignorant. Let me tell you something. LB was just talking about, there are so many black people who are not in tune with the plight that's going on. Like I said, if you got $1.50 over bus fare, they swear to God they'd have made it. And let me tell you something. Until all of us have the same rights and privileges that white America has, we have not made it. There is no way in the world you can be in tune with the with black people and think that everything is all right. Because we got, like LB was saying, we got blacks killing blacks in Chicago, in Houston, in Dallas, in San Antonio, and all these other major cities. But we also have the plight of the black man who is under attack by white America. You know what I'm saying? We've been prosecuted and persecuted by the police. We got too many different avenues that are against us. So we need to come together as black people instead of trying to, what do they call it, polarize our situations. You know what I'm saying? It's just ridiculous, man. I don't even know what else to say about us because look here. The mentality that we have right now, we're not going to make it. We're going to forever have these type of plights and situations going on within the black community.
Not just black people. When they started doing that to provoke people to get violent or to steal. Like, even though some of them are actually doing it, but some of them, they said there was a video, they was like knocking windows down. There was no protester. That was just nothing but cops just knocking windows down. And I'm like, you know you don't see them, right? And they trying to make it look like, because they know what we're trying to do. They know we're trying to get this. They know that, but they trying to make it look like we animals and we doing this and we doing that.
Yeah, it's
an
entertainment.
We know who it is. We know what truth is. We know who doing what.
That's just a part of strategy. When things get out of hand, you have to change the narrative, change the story, just like they did with Colin Kaepernick. He was taking a knee for police brutality and unarmed black men dying, and then they tried to make it about the flag. We start protesting about unarmed black men being killed, and they start talking about how we shouldn't tear down our homes or burn down places and all that and all that. But that's besides the point. That's a whole other point. The first point is, what do you expect young people to do that just seen 20 million, 30 million young kids that just seen a man die on their home? What do you expect them to do? They are scared. They are terrified because they look just like that man, and they got to go out into society. They scared. I'd rather them burn down a store than go shoot somebody, go in their own life. Because you can rebuild a building. You can't bring that man back.
You got to understand something. Two, they're talking about us rioting and looting. Nothing that we rioting and looting did we own already. None of that shit is ours. So damn them. Burn that shit to the ground.
That's the best part about it. Because I haven't seen on one video where anybody messed up anything that was in the black community. That's why they're trying to make it a big thing.
Let me explain something. White people have a tendency to forget history when it don't be in their favor. See, the thing is, we got to talk about 1921 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We can talk about Greenwood, Florida, where when black people had their own businesses, own homes, and owned revenue going and were taking care of each other, the white folks didn't like it, so they went in there and burned it to the ground. They looted, they killed, they slayed black people. They burned it to the damn ground. They looted everything in those towns. But now they want to cry about us looting, doing the same damn thing they taught us how to do. So, see, the thing is, we were not the ones. America has been looting since they hit the ground over here. They looted from the Indians, pilgrims, killed all the Indians. Exactly. They looted Africa. They the kings of looting. They taught us how to loot. So we have to understand that they want to, like I said, white folks have a tendency to forget history when it does not show a favorable reflection of themselves. You think about the history that you were taught in high school and in school, middle school and high school. They never talked about the harsh reality of slavery. They watered it down like we came over here and filled out a damn job application to be a slave. That's not how the hell we got here. So you got to understand that white folks do not want you to put up a mirror and show a reflection of what they have done in their history.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me say this. I applaud the black people that have stood up to do different things as far as protesting and all the stuff they're doing because of the incidents that's going on around the world. I applaud that 100% because it's time that blacks started to stand up. Now, don't take me wrong on this. It's just my opinion on this. You know, somebody called me the other morning and asked me what I thought about what was going on. And I told them the same thing. I applaud what they're doing. I applaud them standing up and standing up for us, for blacks standing up for each other. But sometimes you can look at it as going too far. Now, listen when I say that, because it's easy. And we have a lot of prisons set up where they lock us up because it's easy to put us away faster than it is to put them away. Now, and she made a comment to me. She said, you know, a lot of the money that's going into a lot of these places that don't help support black people, like stores and all this, I said, you don't, and because they was, and I was referring to the incident in Fayetteville where they robbed and looted the Walmart. And she was saying, you know, somebody was on the radio talking about how majority of the black money or money comes from Walmart, come through Walmart from black people. You don't hurt white people by destroying the building. You hurt white people by not supporting their cause. Meaning, don't go in if you want to hurt them, because everything they got in that store, and they took over this whole Walmart, took everything up out of there. Everything they got in the store is 100% guaranteed insured. So they're going to get it back. It doesn't matter. True enough, they're going to be mad. They're not going to like it. But see, the problem with that is when we wake up tomorrow and that person needs to go to the store and buy something, just because their Walmart in the area is not open, they're going to go to the next Walmart down the street because they still got to go to Walmart to shop. But if you feel that these people, a white store or somebody that's not supporting your cause and not supporting you because you're black or whatever the case may be, don't hurt them by destroying it. Hurt them by hurting their pockets, because if majority of the money is coming from us, let's stop giving it to them and start shopping with the people that are for us. Now, true enough, you have black people out there that aren't for us, like the Candace lady and all them. You got people like that, but you learn to ignore those people and get around those people. If she got something to offer that she wants you to buy, don't buy it, because she's just like one of them. So, like I said, I applaud everybody for what's going on. I'm 100% with it. But it's easy to throw us, because all it takes is for somebody to get caught, and then they're going to go to jail faster than these guys went to jail for killing this man, killing Floyd. So why put yourself in that position? Because what we need to do is encourage our black kids and youth to not throw stones. We need to penetrate a different way to hurt the people instead of getting ourselves caught up to be put in a position to where we should want our kids in prison. We should want our kids out here in the street to learn better and do better and be able to go to school to teach better. Because once they get older, they're able to teach the other youth that's coming along to do better. So I applaud everything they're doing, but there's something sometimes a little bit too far, because you, true enough, you're hurting them, but you're not hurting them. Because if it's covered with insurance, they're going to get paid for it anyway. The store might be closed, but you're really hurting yourself, because the people in that neighborhood, now they got to go across town just to go shopping because this store here got tore down or closed or whatever for the fact that of the looting, which, like I said, I ain't got no problem with what you're doing. You're standing up. I ain't got no problem with that. I'm 100% with it. But just be mindful. We want our blacks and our youth to teach other blacks to make sure that we don't follow the same suit.
Right. But the thing about it, Ray, what you're saying makes a lot of sense, and you're right. Those people have everything in their store covered by insurance and all that. But saying something again, you have to understand the system that we're fighting against. There are no black-owned stores like Walmart. There was no black man was ever given an opportunity like Sam Walmart was. He never. We have never been able. You will never find a black-owned store that can offer you the same thing Walmart offers you at that price. That's another thing that we got to think about. So we are under a system that we cannot win against, because economically we have been stifled for 400 years. And then the last 50 years where we have been able to gain some economic gains, every time we get ready to make a gain, they take it away from us again. some kind of way. They find a way to do it. They disenfranchise you by sending you to jail where you have a felony,
right.
You can't get a job. They send you,
right.
They tax you beyond ignorance in your neighborhoods. Your taxation would take all of your extra money that you would have. So you got to understand something. We have been fighting against a system that's rigged against our behind for years. So we do not, it's hard to play when the rules ain't the same for you as it is for the next guy next to you. He's got,
you know what?
You're absolutely right.
But now is the time when you got black people out there that have the money to make these stores. That's why you got people coming into your neighborhood from other countries putting up stores, because nobody black with money wants to put anything in that store.
Right.
But see, you got to remember now, Sam Walton stole what he has. If you know the history about Sam Walton didn't start off honestly. Sam Walton stole that.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. Every rich, the Kennedys was crooks. I'm just saying,
right?
All these rich white folks that we know, we got to understand that they was bootleggers, hustlers, dope sellers. They was everything. They were mafia related, all of that. That's how they got their money and got settled into money. But the thing is, we have to understand something. The reason why black folks loot, and we're looting and all that, is because of the economic imbalance. People are going in these stores stealing stuff they would have never been able to buy. Now, if we were given equal opportunity for economic advancement, we wouldn't be worried about looting. We wouldn't be running in there grabbing the biggest damn TV we can get. We wouldn't be running in there grabbing these $250 Nikes and all that kind of stuff, because we don't have the economic money to go in and just buy this stuff outright. So I understand where the looting is coming from. You have to level the playing field if you want there to be some equal justice and equality. And I got one more thing to say before I sign off, and I want this to be heard by black people as well as white folks. White people need to be glad that all we are seeking is equality. And we're not out here seeking revenge. Because if we was out here seeking revenge, it'd be different. We'd be out here dragging white folks out of their house like they did us back in the day, and dragging them out in their front yard and hanging them in their own tree. That's how they used to do black people off the plantation. If a black man owned something, they didn't like the land, or they wanted the land that he had, or they wanted his wife or one of his daughters, they would simply go in his house, grab him, drag him outside, hang him in a tree, and take what they wanted. So you tell me where the looting come from. Yeah, so just remember, they better be glad we just want equality now and we not seeking revenge. That's all I got to say.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Ooh, it's passionate. Go ahead.
Here's what I'm going to say. If we want equality, they're going to come from us going to Walmart and Target and looting. If we want equality,
right.
Equality is going to come by us standing up, and just like we're running inside of Walmart, just like we're running inside of Target, we need to be running to the polls, and we need to vote.
That's right.
How we're going to equality that we want. We need to start paying attention to who our candidates are in city elections, in the statewide elections, and in the federal elections. Stop getting out to vote just for the president. Get out to vote for the mayor. Get out to vote for the city councilman. Get out to vote for the senators. Get out to vote for the people that's going to make a difference in your city.
And I agree, but I want to say something on this, because we tend to think that we can do one without the other. We think that we can have protests of this type of magnitude we think we can get the good without the bad and the ugly. That's just not the way it works. It's just like when we came out of slavery, when we were hungry for our freedom, you understand me, by any means necessary, we came out. Dogs on our tracks, everything. I wasn't there, but my grandmother was, my grandfather was. That's how close it is to my generation. And so what we have to understand is we may not want the looting. You may not be a looter. You may not be one that is, you may not be a Malcolm X. You might be a Martin Luther King. You understand? But each and every part of what's happening today, whether we like it or not, it's necessary. It's necessary. You know, it's different times in the Bible when people they stayed in their house and went to sleep, you know, put the blood on their doorpost. But it was other folks that was out fighting. It was other folks that, you see what I'm saying? So everybody has a role in this thing. Now, looting, they going to, you know, be dealt with, whatever. But all of it's necessary. The discomfort, we want to be comfortable in protest. We want to be comfortable and get things done. We want everything to happen without violence and without this. But that's not the reality of things, you know. It has to be a trumpet sound loud enough and intense enough for them to understand that change right now. Because guess what? They want you to go home and say, we're just going to be peaceful and let's just show up at the polls. But the black folks showed up at the polls when we were trying to elect the president and we ended up with Donald Trump. Okay? So we have to accept what God allows and really trust God in this whole situation. I ain't the one to go out and loot, but they are one. I ain't the one to go out. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. There's some evil people out there that's throwing the brick through the window and running around the corner and watching the black folk run in. It is some twisted stuff going on. Okay? It is. You got the ignorant and the foolish mixed in with those. They got purpose. See what I'm saying? So it's a lie. So my view on it is, everything that's happening, we may not like it, but it's necessary. It's part of history, and it's gonna happen. I wish that the people that our forefathers and foremothers, when they were going to freedom, I wish that the white folk would have sat at home and said, "Well, we'll just wait till it's time to vote."
You know what I wish would happen?
I understand,
but you know what I wish would happen? I wish 4 years ago when Colin Kaepernick took a knee that black folks would have mobilized like they're mobilizing now after this man's death, and his brother would still be alive today.
If we would have kneeled with
Kaepernick. If we would have got behind Colin Kaepernick 4 years ago, that white boy knee would have never been on the back of George Floyd's neck. But we didn't want to listen to Colin Kaepernick. He was too radical. Like I said, we too soft. We too damn soft. And we allowed them to blackball one of the best damn black quarterbacks in the league. We allowed that to happen. Hey, but look here. We have had a heated and a great talk tonight. So I want to thank y'all for coming on here. I want to thank you for your opinions and your comments throughout the show. And, again, we had a great show on a Thursday night here from Houston, Texas. LB, you go ahead and sign off, and then Mary B, you follow.
I want to first off thank everybody for tuning in. This has been a great show. I want to encourage everybody, man, let's get out and vote, man. We got to make our voices heard. If this has not shown us anything, it's time for us to step up. I mean, let's take a look at the situation really quick in Ferguson. When in Ferguson, Missouri, after that young man was killed, Ferguson now has a black mayor. That city has turned around. They voted, and now that city has a black mayor in office. That's the type of things we need to do. We need to turn things around. And the way we're going to do that is by getting out there and voting. So let's get out there.
Right.
Make your voices heard. Get out there. Go vote. Vote or die.
Right. There you go. Mary B., go ahead, baby.
Okay. Well, we've had an awesome show tonight on Thursday. I hope everyone really does get out to vote. It's a very important election. It really is life or death. And I hope everyone has an awesome weekend. Also, we will see you all Sunday.
All righty. Trainer Ray, talk to me.
Hey, this is Trainer Ray down here in the Dirty Sizzle. Thank y'all for joining us tonight at 219 to talk. We had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful conversation, wonderful talk tonight. Just thank y'all for listening in, who all was listening, you know, reach out to us if you need it, if you got a question or concern. Thank y'all for joining us tonight.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is JD the Barber signing off for 219 to Talk. And this was a wonderful, needed conversation. And I just appreciate all the comments that were made on the show tonight. And as LB said, let's get out and vote. Let's do something that has never been done in the last 40 years. Let's turn the state of Texas blue. Let's get out and vote Democrat and get this clown out of office, because this is really ridiculous. Let's turn the state blue again, baby. Again, this is JD the Barber signing off. Good night, and see y'all next week on 219 to Talk. Bye bye.
219. 219 to Talk. 219 to Talk. 219 to Talk. 219 to Talk. Let's go. 219. Yeah, 219.